Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another exciting, informative, sometimes informative, but sometimes entertaining episode of Radio Law Talk. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny again today, who is on assignment. Fred Penny, the man who burns the candle at both ends and in the middle. If there were a way to squeeze 25 or 26 hours out of a day, 8 days out of a week, and 380 days in a year.
All three ends. He burns it at all three ends,
right,
simultaneously.
He'd find a way to do it, Fred. Miss you, get back here when you're done with your other endeavors. And to my right is Denise Dirks. Denise, how are you this fine morning?
I'm doing fine.
The lovely and talented Miss Dirks, we might add.
Yes, yes, and that smooth, silky voice that you hear. Coming from behind the glass, Cal Hunter. Morning, Cal.
Hey, somehow I think it's where I belong. Back in the corner there. Just get over there. Push the correct button. So what a great day today. Came to the studio. I have two sets of keys, work keys, car keys. I went to the doctor yesterday and left my work keys at the doctor's office right next to the examination table, and you don't know what he was examining, and you don't want to know. But the point is that I had a challenge getting in here this morning, but here I am, and here you are.
Yeah. Yeah, Cal had realized that he left his keys at the examination table when he reached in and pulled out a pair of rubber gloves to open up the door. What the heck? I've exchanged these for something. How did that happen?
A rubber glove, a piece of hose, and a swab. And I said to myself, I don't want to know.
I ain't getting in that building. Well, let's see. Who had 5 minutes into the show, less than 5 minutes into the show, before we went off the rails? Who had that on their bingo chart?
I think I won.
Hey, we have today, here's an announcement. We have two new affiliates that we would like to announce, listening from Garden City, Kansas, and Scott City, Kansas. KIUL, 1240 AM out of Garden City, and KYUL, FM, 98.5 FM, Scott Kitt City, Kansas. Welcome to Radio Law Talk.
The mighty KIUL and KYUL. I love that. I love those call letters that kind of come out easily. If they've got like two X's, KWXE. The hardest job I ever auditioned for was WXYZ Detroit.
Why was that?
The W. I kept saying, I was from California. I said W. WXYZ. And the guy said, Mr. Hunter, it is a W. Okay, fine. WXYZ, Detroit. I still didn't get the gig.
It's amazing how they pronounce words in different parts of the country. When I was a young attorney in Northeast Tennessee, and I was in, as I was pronouncing it, Blountville.
I'll bet you didn't hear about that.
Oh, my gosh. I had been there for about a week, and one of the criminal defense attorneys, I was a prosecutor, so one of the criminal defense attorneys pulled me aside and says, all right, you're driving everybody nuts. First, when you say the word county, you don't pronounce the T. It's not county, it's county. And it's not Blountville, it's Blunt, and it's Vull. Bluntville.
Bluntville, yes.
Okay, there you go. B-L-O-U-N-T.
It's like Worcestershire sauce in England. How do you say it? You don't know. Even if you live there, you don't know.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that I had to get used to, but I did. You ever spend time in the South, Denise?
No. Not time. Not real time.
So you passed through or something like that?
I spent, a couple weeks in New Orleans.
Well, I went to the Dallas airport once. Does that count? Well, I was going through on that big, long tram, That was it. Yeah.
Well, okay.
not much south. Oh, no, wait. San Antonio. I spent 2 weeks in San Antonio at a news director's convention. What a great city.
I did go to Austin. Does that count?
I don't know. Does it count?
Count for what?
There has been such an influx of people from the West Coast moving to Austin.
Right.
Right.
And
it's really a cool city.
Austin is the Boise of Texas, right? Boise, Idaho, where many people from California are fleeing, shall we
say. And it's got hills. I mean, it's got a big valley and stuff, but it's got nice hills and it's got lakes.
Travis
Hills.
Lake, yeah.
You hear that, heels. Right? Heels. That's the way I say it in Oregon.
Hills.
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 How do you say hills?
Hills.
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 Hills. Ill with an H. I'm
yes,
ill.
Yes, Denise was in The Sound of Music and the director kept... You know, the heels are alive with The Sound of Music. This is not about shoes, okay? All right.
And then she left the show. Not shoes? I'm out.
All right. Well.
Exactly. I've got so many of those.
Yes. Well, boy, we have a lot to talk about on Radio Law Talk today. Still, we have some analysis left over from the Murdaugh trial. Obviously, last week, the verdict came down the day before we did our show, and I believe only one juror by that time had done an interview. But since then, there's been other jurors that have done interviews that talked about things that really caused them to think that Alex Murdaugh was guilty. And I want to talk about that and talk about whether or not the jurors actually did their job in this case.
What?
And because there's some comments that were made that are very concerning. Well, let's talk a little bit about it. And boy, this is we got to see where the dust settles. But this just happened.
Were the comments
yesterday.
Made by the people who won or lost?
What's that? I'm moving on to a different.
Oh, I'm saying in the Murdaugh thing, were they made by people who won or lost? That was just be a telling thing. But anyway,
yes,
go ahead.
So
moving along.
Well, the jurors didn't win or lose, but
yes,
right,
and actually, nobody wins in a criminal trial. I'll explain what I mean about that. But so
prevailing side.
So yesterday was it? Yesterday, just yesterday, I believe.
Thursday.
Okay, so Thursday.
It was Thursday, and it was shocking.
That's right. Was it Silicon Valley Bank?
Oh, boy.
Takeover by the feds and the collapse they had there and the effect. That is scary. And
yeah, there's going to be some other banks going down. Do you realize that we had not had a bank fail since 2008, 2009 time frame?
I know. And look what happened when that started, the ripple effect there.
And this is the 16th largest bank in the country with branches in California, New York, and Boston. So all of the major high-tech centers, maybe even Austin, I don't know, but all the major high-tech centers, people seeking capital. What a ripple effect it's having already.
Yeah.
I know. We also have an Elizabeth Holmes update. Interesting amount that the prosecutors are seeking in restitution. We'll talk about that. We've also got, let's see here, a family awarded $8 million as a result of a lawsuit that is based on an unlawful detention. You don't see these too often, and my guess is when stories like this come out, you're going to see these kind of lawsuits a lot more. And Jimmy Page, boy, how long can we go without talking about lawsuits that involve rock stars? And here's one, Jimmy Page feuding with a neighbor. And so we'll talk about that.
So not a whole lot of love for the neighbor is the point.
Two rock stars going at it.
That's right. Not a whole lot of love.
Caught that one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that Jimmy Page?
Not a whole lot of love.
If he was a used car salesman, it'd be the Lemon song, right? Yeah. Okay. We've got all that stuff. And then what most people tune in for is case or no case, and we don't have probably enough time to get it set up. Cal, can you give us a tease?
Yep, it's a double point Saturday.
Okay.
And coming up on case or no case, a man who claims he took pictures of dead people in the studio, and he made a thing. I photograph dead people. This is in the Victorian era when spiritualism was at its zenith. Well, so it's really a fascinating story out of our history. Coming up on Case or No Case on this big broadcast. So if you'll stay right there, we hope you will. The show will continue right after this. This is Radio Law Talk on many great radio stations coast to coast and streaming at RadioLawTalk.com. Now this.
100% of the announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
Call now, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182, 800-238-9182. Again, that's 800-238-9182.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds in the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car. Watch 100 feet of claw washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, Chevy, Sauber, Cadillac, Quick Quack, and spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy, looking snappy. You'll be glad you was asked a Quick Quack Car Wash. It on the web and go to don'tdrivedirty.com and see where you got your closest Quick Quack in the local area. Get in your car, get in your truck, get on the road and come visit the duck.
Quick Quack Car Wash, where your car will always leave happy, guaranteed. They take pride in being clean and green by conserving and recycling the water they use only at...
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you serious?
This is a great time to call the show. 855 Law Radio. That's 855 Law Radio.
We are back, and Cal gave us the tease about somebody who photographs dead people.
I shoot dead people.
So, wait. Well, that's kind of after the fact. Cal, take it away.
With a camera, yeah.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yeah! William Memler was a photographer with a secret. He could take pictures of the dead. In the post-Civil War Victorian era, he took a picture, and on that portrait was what appeared to be a ghost. Memler just passed it off as a mistake in the photographic shop where they didn't clean the silver halide off of the glass plate properly. But a woman down the street in her photography studio saw the picture and passed it on to the popular spiritualist newspaper. And Memler's popularity and his wealth took off like wildfire. For example, at that time, a portrait sitting in Boston would cost you $10. If you get a portrait sitting with a ghost, it's $50. So what do you think Memler's going to do? Let me see. Okay. So he said, I can do the math. There's only one problem. Memler used double exposure and then other unknown photo tricks to do what he did. Eventually, Mr. Memler was accused of being a charlatan and a fraud when he moved to New York City. So the city of New York had an undercover man come in for a ghost photo. The man went to the city attorney and said, he may be a fraud. My proof? The ghost in that picture is the same as the ghost in my picture. Wait a minute. What do you think? I don't know. So the office said, okay, let's see if we have a case or no case against the spiritualist photo shooter. Denise, let's let you go for 2 points here today.
It's got to be a fraud. Not like these reputable snakeskins. That's good science. But
well, I mean, remember, these photos came back in the 80s when I'm trying to think of the company. Olin Mills would take pictures of people, and then they would put in a circle over their grandma or whatever up over their heads. It was just a trend of using double exposures to link families together photographically. But it's an interesting story. What do you think, Denise, case or no case?
Well, first of all, it could be a scenario, but I don't see a case here. And I do think it's a scenario, though. I think, you know, you're kind of a history buff.
I am kind of, yeah.
And so I think you probably picked up a book and started reading about photography and, you know, thinking about a new chosen career, perhaps.
Because good Lord knows I need one after this show. Okay, go ahead.
So I say it is a scenario, but not a case.
Okay, fair enough. Todd, what do you think about the case of the curious Mr. Memler?
The curious Mr. Memler? Well, I just keep thinking about the what was your statement was it's false because the ghost in this picture looks just like the ghost in the other picture, and I'm thinking, heaven forbid two ghosts ever look like each other.
But the ghosts were said to be relatives.
You know, well, you know,
so that doesn't look like my cousin, but it does look like this guy who brought in the complaints cousin. Wait a minute. What's going on here? Right. So it's interesting.
So look, just for the sake of variety, because I'm inclined to go with Denise, but just for the sake of variety, I'll say, what the heck? This is a case. But ultimately, the court tosses it because of the frivolous. It is a case, and what's the
William Memler?
Memler loses. Memler loses because it's they show that the technology is it's not photographing a ghost, and he knew it was fraudulent. He knew that this was a mistake. He knew exactly how what appeared to be a ghost showed up on the picture. He knew it had nothing to do with that, but only chose to participate in the perpetuation of the fraud because he got popular because of it, and he saw dollar signs.
I think the picture he liked best was the one of Benjamin Franklin, you know, of that ended up in
yes.
Photograph. Okay. So
it's a yeah. case, and Memler loses because he's defrauding people.
I will be glad to give you the answer if you'd like it now. We have time.
Go ahead and give us the answer.
Those of you who say it was not a case, but rather a scenario, that's Denise, correct? Those of you who say it is a case, that is Mr. Kunin. And congratulations, Todd. However,
uh-oh.
Only 1 point? It was a case, and Mr. Memler won. You remember last week during the Murdaugh trial, we were saying, prove your case first. Let the evidence take you right. Remember, we were talking about that? Well, the prosecution came into court in New York City and listed 9 different possible ways that Mr. Memler could have used to perpetuate this fraud. But Memler's defense lawyer said, you know what? You're right. Those are all ways those pictures could have been faked. But my client didn't use any of those, and in fact, he took pictures of ghosts, unless you can prove otherwise. So this was a judge case. The judge listened and said, prosecution, prove your case. You did not. Mr. Memler, not guilty.
Wow.
And besides, he didn't want to be the guy that made the ghost photographer go away. So Memler did spend a little while in the tombs. You know, the famous jail in New York, the tombs.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in there for a little while while they held him, but he got out. And the practice of ghost photos can remain popular until the 1850s, even though people knew it was all fake. People loved them. You know, they said, well, okay, cool, I'll take one of those. And, of course, like I said, in the Olin Mills photos in the 1980s, where you've got those weird-looking... They did some weird stuff.
Wow. You know what's interesting about pictures from the 1800s, late 1800s, you know, where people would actually have photographs taken with deceased relatives?
Yes, very common in the Victorian era. This is kind of where that came about.
And it's interesting. You can tell pictures like that because oftentimes there's only one person really in focus.
Yeah.
And it's the deceased. And the reason was you'd have to sit there for a long time while the film went. And it's hard for people to stay still. The only person not moving was the dead guy.
Is the one who can't.
That's why they're always in focus, and the other family members are usually out of focus.
And I think in the Memler case, Todd, I think that was part of it. They would take the cap off the big camera and then have flash powder and all of that. And so somebody moved a little bit, and it looked cool, and somebody said, is that my grandma? And she said, well, for $50, it might be.
for $50, yes, it is. All right, that'll do it for Case or No Case. I get 1 point. Denise gets none. Cal gets none.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll talk about Alex Murdaugh, who got none as well.
Yeah. No points. Welcome to my world. We'll be right back with more Case, more Case or No Case next hour. Stay tuned as Radio Law Talk continues.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
I've got to get my car washed, the dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today, I don't know what I do.
And I know this place right down the road, Quick Quack Car Wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride, and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, Quick Quack Car Wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Come on.
Here's Fred Penny with Penny and Associates.
When you or a family member have been injured in an accident, what should you look for in a personal injury lawyer? The first thing is an experienced personal injury law firm that is actually taking cases to trial. Hi, I'm Frederick Penny, managing partner and founder of Penny and Associates Injury Lawyers. For over 30 years, Penny and Associates Injury Lawyers has been successfully representing individuals and their families. At Penny and Associates, we're experienced trial lawyers, and we work with you to get the best results.
Go to pennyandassociates.com or call 800-616-4529.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to Radio.
USA News Update. More than 9,000 people in Central California are under evacuation as an atmospheric river dumps heavy rain on the region.
Officials in Santa Cruz County say a town of 10,000 people have been isolated by flooded roads. There are power blackouts as well. At a news conference Friday, California's Director of Emergency Services confirmed that flooding has caused two deaths. National Weather Service meteorologist Bill Rash says storms and rain are not going away.
It's looking like a pretty good
good chance of a couple inches. But what's pretty sure is that even, you know, with another inch or two, we're going to have additional flooding impact.
President Biden has approved a state of emergency for California, clearing the way for federal assistance. I'm Karen Sloan.
Don't forget to move those clocks ahead 1 hour when you go to bed Saturday night. Daylight saving time taking effect at 2 a.m. Sunday. I'm Jeremy Scott, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Where's Fred?
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. info@radiolawtalk.com.
So in the wake of the verdict in the Murdaugh trial, now the jurors are making the rounds. They're on social, various news agencies. There's news reports, all this about what it was that caused them to vote the way that they did in convicting Alex Murdaugh of the murders, for the murders of his wife and son that happened a little over, what's 2021, in June of 2021 in South Carolina. And just to recap really quickly what the split was, after the jurors got the case, closing arguments are done, they go back into the jury room, and those that have been interviewed have indicated that this was what happened in the jury room. They took an initial vote, and the initial vote, the split was 9 for guilty, 2 for not guilty, and 1 undecided. And then about 45 minutes later, after deliberating amongst themselves, they came to a unanimous verdict on the murder charges. So the two that were not guilty now were voting guilty. The one that was on the fence was now voting guilty. It was 12-0. Now, it did take 3 hours for them to ultimately let the court know that they had reached a verdict because there were other things that they had to consider. But on the main charges of murder, they reached their verdict in 45 minutes. And that has raised some eyebrows in the legal community, and there have been some questions. We talked about this a little bit last week, but on the speed of the verdict alone, I'll put it to you, Denise, and to you, Cal, as well. Just the speed of the verdict alone, knowing that the very first vote was 9-2-1. 9 for guilt, 2 for not guilty, 1 on the fence. Does that strike you odd at all that 45 minutes later it was unanimous? Denise, start with you.
Well, usually that would be not guilty. Usually a quick verdict is a sign, in my opinion, of not guilty.
Yes.
Because that means that there was no struggling over evidence and whether or not it was sufficient and whether or not there was any, doubt, reasonable doubt. So I would say that was unusual.
Yeah.
But I also would say that it's not completely abnormal.
Yeah, look, it's not like it never happens, but
just this, there was a lot of evidence.
There was. I mean, it was, what, 6 weeks of testimony? And
it was a lot.
Yeah.
And they didn't take notes, so,
well,
you know.
Well, the judge wouldn't let them, right?
Hmm?
The judge wouldn't allow notes, isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And because they didn't take notes, how could they refer back to evidence except to talk about it amongst themselves and raise things? So it feels almost like they didn't have a lot of deliberation, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Kyle,
well,
what do you think?
Is there a minimum standard for deliberation? I mean, my sense is they went in there, two people set him on the fence, all the others said, come on, Ralph, what are you really talking about?
Okay, that wasn't the split.
Whatever it was.
9 for guilt, 2 for not guilty,
okay, so
and 1 on the fence.
So the 2 not guilty guys, they say, come on, Ralph, what's the deal? What? Did you believe him when he did this? Did you believe? I'll bet you that they argued the case with him, which I think juries probably do. So I don't see anything untoward about this, except was there any bullying, arm twisting, anything like that that changed the verdict? And I don't think there was.
I think there were just
people who said, look at the facts. Did you believe him on the witness stand, yes or no? To me, that's what I think happened too.
Okay, so here's my take on that. Because I agree with you, and this is what juries are supposed to do. They are supposed to go back and forth and talk about the evidence.
Come on, I've seen 12 Angry Men. I know what goes on. Okay.
But the key in that analysis is arguing the evidence. And,
right.
And let's look at this. You got 12 jurors sitting back there in the jury room. 2 are not guilty. 1 on the fence. 2 are not guilty. Now, if I believe that somebody is guilty and I'm going to try to argue to you what the evidence is, and you, having heard the same evidence, think that it's not guilty, I would think, at a minimum, let's ask for readback, playback. Let's look at the evidence that we're talking about. The only thing I think they looked at was the video.
And credibility, yeah.
Was the video. But, again, anything else that somebody is arguing, say, well, the evidence was this, and the evidence was this, and the evidence was this. The system, to me, if a juror is doing what they're supposed to do, it's like, okay, right now we have a disagreement as to what the evidence is. Let's see it.
Well,
we got 23 days, 6 weeks of testimony. Nobody has taken any notes. And we're going to have this argument about what the evidence was or was not based upon the recollections of the 12 people in the jury room?
I think it's different. I think after they saw him testify, and remember, he testified for a day and a half. So they got to hear his voice. They got to kind of see his mannerisms. They got to do all of that. And then they played back that video, and clearly it was him. They understood it was him.
That video,
and he
had
lied so many times during this.
Yeah.
They probably said, "What? He's probably not lying. He's not telling the truth now."
But when they went back into the jury room, there was no question about whether or not it was him in the video. He admitted it was him in the video.
Well, I think they all knew that, and I think I'm just theorizing here that there were two guys that the others looked at him and said, "Are you telling us that you believed his story about the video where you heard his voice? You're telling us you believed his lie about that?" Because that's what a not guilty verdict is saying. So think about that before we pass this forward.
No. See, and if that's what is said in the jury room, then my argument is that is absolutely juror misconduct.
Why?
Because it's not that the defense has to prove anything. Because the inquiry should not be whether or not his testimony countered something. The inquiry should be is, has the prosecution's theory of the case been proven to you beyond a reasonable doubt?
Well, who brought the tape?
Okay.
Well, the son, the prosecution brought the tape.
Okay, so they presented it.
So
that was part of their case.
It
was part of their case, right?
And so the person who's sitting and say, yeah, I heard the tape. I still don't think the prosecution proved the case beyond a reasonable doubt. My concern is you got somebody sitting there, you got people sitting there, and in 45 minutes they go from not guilty to guilty without seeing any evidence other than a replay of the tape, which is now just, I mean, if we're going to throw plausible scenarios out there. Cal, you have, you know, said, well, it could be a couple guys saying this and this. It could also be absolute intimidation of jurors by other jurors of saying, hey, vote this way, vote this way. The problem that I've got here with a lot of this is some of the things that the jurors are saying. For example, when they go on the
chat shows, right,
they say, look, when I heard him testify, or when I heard his voice on the video and then heard him talk in the courtroom, that sealed it for me. I knew it was him.
Well, that's fair enough, isn't it?
No, it absolutely is not.
Why?
That is absolutely wrong, because there is an instruction to every juror that says, do not make up your mind about your verdict or how you would vote in this case until you have heard all the evidence. And you got jurors sitting there saying, as soon as I heard him talk on the stand and it sounded like the voice in the tape, I knew it was him. That sealed it for him with me. Now, that was before the defense had put on any evidence at all. It was still during the prosecution's case in chief.
But to use your words, I knew it was him. They didn't say I knew he was guilty.
It was after he testified, but it was before the defense had put on the rest of their expert testimony that they called after Murdaugh. It was before the cross-examination of any of the witnesses on the state's rebuttal case, and you've got jurors sitting there saying, as soon as I heard him testify, that sealed it for me. I knew it was him.
I don't think that's misconduct at all.
What it is
they made up their mind that he was guilty at that point, and then the defense didn't raise any reasonable doubt in their minds. Once they got to the point where the prosecution in their mind proved the case, then they listened to the other evidence, and it didn't raise any reasonable doubts.
That is absolutely contrary to the jury instructions to the jury. The jury are instructed that you don't make a determination one way or another until you've had the case given to you after closing arguments and instructions from the jury, and the case is given to you. Do not decide. They're instructed specifically, do not decide early on which way you would go. Because what happens is once you commit to that in your mind, you don't look at other evidence.
But the fact, in my opinion, that two guys were not guilty when they went in and changed their mind proves that at least those three did follow the instructions.
What I think is that
you're kind of hung up a little bit on the fact that nobody found a motive, that it couldn't really determine a motive, but that's not part of the proof that has to be done.
I'm not hung up on that at all.
Well, that's what other people have said.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. We've got to take a break. We'll get back to this when we get back.
What a fascinating case. More on the Murdaugh case and other big legal stuff going on, and there's always big legal stuff going on. And we always talk about it on the Big Legal Show, Radio Law Talk. So if you'll stay there, we promise we'll come right back and have more for you after this.
And other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com. Or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay. What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
That is Armadillo. Oh, come on.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
So, getting back to the Murdaugh trial a little bit here. They've already said, his attorneys have already said that they're going to appeal the conviction. And because they believe that there was misconduct. And the interesting thing here is that usually if you don't object to something, you kind of waive that issue for appeal. That's legal speak. I ask my kids, if I said something, I use the word waive, and like, why are you waving to somebody? It's like, no, it means you're doing away with it. They didn't understand what waive meant. So if you don't object to something, it means you can't bring it up on appeal because the appellate court's going to say, well, how did the trial court rule? Well, I don't know. We didn't bring it up at the trial court. Well, you can't bring it up here then, right? And so that's generally the rule. But with criminal defense in particular, you can sort of backdoor some of those objections that were not raised on a theory of ineffective assistance of counsel. Oh, well, okay, I'm appealing because I had an attorney that didn't do their job. And so then the court has to look at it to say, okay, was it wrong for the attorney not to object? And if it was wrong for the attorney not to object, if the attorney had objected, would it have really mattered in the day? And they have to look at that kind of stuff ultimately to determine whether somebody was denied due process. And I was surprised when I watched the closing arguments, especially the closing. So the way it goes in closing arguments, the prosecution gets to give their closing arguments. Then the defense gets to give their closing argument. Then the prosecution gets one more bite at the apple, their rebuttal argument. And there were some things that were said that I was very shocked that I didn't hear an objection by the defense when they were set the first. The first one was when the prosecutor on the rebuttal argument said, and when Alex Murdaugh, the night of, when the law enforcement officers are out there and he's so distraught because these people, they claim that, he claims that, you know, somebody killed his wife and boy, and the sled agents, the law enforcement want to talk to him. What does he say? Want to talk to him, not without a lawyer. He invokes his right to a lawyer. Why would you invoke your right to a lawyer? And he starts talking about the invocation of the right to a lawyer and insinuating very strongly that if he was innocent, he wouldn't have done that. No objection from the defense. None.
Yeah, but that could be tactical. They may have done that on purpose to allow for that kind of review on appeal.
Well, they might have. However, if they had objected, and you put it in the trial court's hands for the trial court to say you overruled or sustained, at a minimum, to break up the rhythm of the prosecutor giving the rebuttal argument. Of all the lawyers that argued in front of the jury, putting aside whether or not I think that he made arguments that violated the right to a fair trial, that the guy doing the rebuttal was the first time he spoke to the jury, and he was the slickest. I mean, that dude could argue. It was really...
He was the AG, right?
Yeah, he was really, really good. But he raises that argument. No objection. No objection at all. I mean, you're literally talking about somebody's right to have counsel present, a right recognized in the Constitution and by the Supreme Court, and the jury is not allowed to consider that on the issue of guilt or innocence, and you have the prosecutor arguing that his invocation of the right to have an attorney present suggests that he was guilty. That was amazing.
Yeah, that is an absolute fault.
But then he made another argument, okay? And you wonder whether or not that argument had sway with the jury, right? And I haven't heard any juror interviewed say, yeah, you know, when he asked for his right to an attorney, that meant to me that he was guilty. Because what innocent person would do that? And I haven't heard anybody say that. But the prosecutor made another argument. And the other argument that he made was, and you heard... what was the boy's name? Paul. You heard Paul testify.
Papa.
You heard Paul testify. Paul testified and identified him as the killer. It's stuff. It's like, no objection, because no, Paul did not testify. All we have is Snapchat video, nothing. And to the question about whether or not that argument impacted the jury or affected the jury, one of the jurors interviewed literally says this: when I saw the video from Paul, it was like he was speaking to me from the grave. And so now I'm like, okay, I got a juror who's saying that using the phrase speaking to me from the grave is the person testified, and that's the exact argument the prosecutor had made, which should have been inappropriate and objected to, and the juror is saying that influenced their vote. That sets up to me a great issue for appeal, that an untimely objection to what could be construed as prosecutorial misconduct in argument directly affected the jury. You got one, two, and three, and you have evidence of all three by the statement of that juror who said, spoke to me from the grave.
Yeah, I think that's your best argument, honestly, because that does tie together pretty well.
Yeah.
But I do have to say something. I feel like... it came down, for the jurors, it came down to character. I really feel, and I don't think it was improper to bring up the financial problems that he had, because he was on drugs. You know, he had all of these other problems that are surrounding him, and clearly he may not have been of his, you know, a very good mind frame. And he'd already tried to kill himself or have himself killed so he could give his money or get money for his son. And so he just was not acting in any way that was rational. And I think when he got on the stand and he tried to explain away him being at the scene of the crime, I think people just thought, you know what, he's just giving one more lie that's going to get him through this.
I think his best version, Denise, was, okay, I'm a thief, I'm a druggie, I'm a fraudster, but I'm not a murderer. I mean, come on. That, to me... if I'm sitting on a jury, I'm going, Oh, yeah, because for some people, there's such a big gap between the two, right?
Credibility.
Credibility and character. I would agree with that.
I don't think they believed him when he said he lied to the police about him not being there. They believed he lied to the police, but they didn't. They thought he could be lying right in front of them.
Yeah.
There's one thing about motive. Now, motive is not an element to the crime of murder.
Right.
It's not an element. However, it's necessary. Consideration of motive is necessary when you don't have an eyewitness to the crime and you got one person saying, I didn't do it. Well, okay, who did it? And let's look at the people that would have had motive to do it. Now, the one thing that I felt that was weak on the part of the prosecution was this idea that he killed his wife and son because the financial to sort of throw off the dogs, if you will, for the inquiry for the financial dealings that he had and being called on the carpet with the law firm about the missing money. And it just didn't make sense to me to think, okay, I don't want to be under the microscope for financial crimes, so I'm going to kill two people, which is going to put me under the microscope, but at least it's not for financial. That just doesn't make sense.
Well, I think there's a more sinister thing. Apparently, his wife had plenty of money. She came to money and came to the marriage with money, and she owned most of their property, most of the property. And if she died and Paul died, the heirs are going to be him and his older son, Buster.
That's true.
So, I mean, just because the prosecution may have had their thought of what motive was, it doesn't stop the jurors from thinking that I believe this is truly the motive. He was having financial problems, and it was a way for him to be able to sell off all the properties and to perhaps get out of the financial problems.
Well, again, I would disagree with you on that, because unless the prosecution raised that theory, unless the prosecution showed that he was the direct beneficiary to where the property would go if his wife was killed, the jurors aren't supposed to speculate as to what motives. Jurors aren't supposed to speculate to anything that
was
not presented
at trial. One of the jurors said that Ms. Burdock was the one that owned most of the property. So they did know that. That did come out in trial.
Yeah.
I also think we're trying to ascribe sane actions to a guy who has a druggy brain and was not really sane, obviously, I mean, because of what he was under the influence of, in my opinion. Yeah, so we can't.
Could be. We're done with hour number one.
And we won't talk Murdoch anymore today. We're done.
That's Denise's personal guarantee. And Radio Law Talk will continue in just a minute. So don't forget, 6 minutes after the hour, we'll be back on the website and back on the air on Radio Law Talk.
Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.